Good morning, everybody. My name's Graham, and I am bringing you the service from Lutterworth, Coates Batch and Bitterswell. I hope you have a really good time. God bless you. Okay, well, it's a massive welcome to all of those from Lutterworth, Coates Batch and Bitterswell, to anybody else around the world who's joined us this morning. And this morning is all about good news. It's been a good week for good news, a massive global breakthrough for the treatment of COVID-19. And that's come from Oxford University. How fantastic is that? There's also breakthroughs with a vaccine, which is being trialled right now in London. This is good news, lots of good news. And also with Rashford, our football player. Oh, he's so good. And he's been championing this wonderful campaign to get school children from poorer backgrounds fed all the way through the summer holidays. And he's got it! 1.3 million children. What a fabulous goal he scored there. It's absolutely wonderful. Okay, well, we're going to have a lot of good news today, because we're going to be looking at the good news of Jesus. And that is his gospel. And that is the love of God, which shines through Jesus, gives us forgiveness. And we can be reconciled back with our Father in heaven, who loves us. It's all good news. God loves us. And that's today. He loves you today. And that is really, really good news. We're going to start with a prayer. So let's pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pray for me that I should trust him as my Lord and Saviour. And a couple of years later, I read the biography of D.L. Moody. In those days, it was called Moody Without Sankey, written by John Pollock, but it was to change my life. He was this big-hearted American evangelist of, 130, 40 years ago, and who used to preach to thousands, but he never let a day go by without speaking to somebody about the Lord Jesus. And just as a 17-year-old, as it happens, the next few days, I had the opportunity to talk to different people about the Lord. I could still tell you one or two of those stories from all those years ago. But on the Friday, I remember praying, Lord, if you'll help me now for the rest of my life, every day, I'd like to speak to at least one non-Christian about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have missed some days, but not very many, to be honest. And it's been a wonderfully delightful discipline for me to make sure I find somebody to speak with. And then came lockdown. So what do you do? What I started to do, I've always been a postcard writer. You can write a little or a lot on a postcard. And I love sending postcards to various people. And so I began to write postcards to anybody and everybody. And in the postcard, I would include a gospel tract. I wrote a tract on the virus. It's called Hope Beyond Coronavirus. Amazingly, this is now... they've published more than 425,000 of these just in the UK. I can't believe it. But anyway, I wrote this and we got it published. So I began to write a postcard and I just enclosed this tract. And I started to send it, first of all, to relatives and then friends. And then obviously lockdown continued. So I thought, all right, I'll write to the managers of the local supermarkets because my daughter is doing my shopping for me, and thank them for staying open. And then I wrote to my doctors, my dentist, and then I wrote to, the bank. Now, that was an interesting one, because my daughter had gone to the bank on my behalf a week later. And the lady behind the counter said, Sumit, can I ask, who is this man you're paying money in for? And she said, oh, it's my father. Will you thank him? They said, last week he wrote to us a postcard with a little leaflet. Do you know? It made our day. And all I was doing is writing, thanking them and saying, you might be interested in this. And I started writing to MPs. And then I literally have sent out hundreds of letters like this. And I just love doing it. And then I thought, what about my local care homes? There are two care homes, one in Grassington, one in Threshfield, where I live. So I got in touch, first of all, with Threshfield and said, look, I'm a local Christian minister. If you were to give me a list of the Christian names of all your residents, I'd love to write to them. And sure enough, day later, 50 names came back. And it was just before VE Day, so I got a tract on VE Day. So I wrote a little postcard to each of these people in an envelope with this. And they were so appreciative. I have found it a remarkable opportunity. Obviously, there are phone calls and there are Zoom opportunities, but I've loved the writing letters. There are sadnesses, of course. A friend of mine went to be with the Lord a week ago, and I would love to have visited her in the hospice, and I couldn't do that. And, you know, and I recognize some people have suffered immensely. So, yeah, it's tough, but evangelism hasn't ceased. The Lord isn't in lockdown, is he? And really, I've been able to share something by writing a postcard and sending a tract to people I would never normally be able to do so.
I think particularly just really encouraged by the reception you received, particularly that story about the bank. Often I think we can find that or feel that our anything to do with we do evangelistic is like we're forcing something on people that they really don't want. That's such a great story.
Well, one has to say the vast majority of people haven't responded. But then my daughter went into the doctor's surgery on my behalf. They were very grateful. So just because they don't respond doesn't mean that they're necessarily offended. As it happens, one or two of the non-Christian people that I sent a postcard and a tract to have written back, and I've been in correspondence with my father's old boss, amazingly, and we've been writing to and fro, and he, this week, it's probably his wife, but sent me an address of one of my father's colleagues saying, will I write to him as well? So yes, of course I will.
In our Sunday service, we've got people logged in today who are members of the church or have been for years. We've also got some people who are maybe just taking this opportunity to have a little look at church, maybe as it's streamed on Facebook, and they're not sure sort of where they are with Jesus. What would you like to say to them?
Well, in this little leaflet, I tell the story of a farmer who was asked on one occasion, you know, it's great you do what you do, but what do you do when it's pouring down with rain? And he said, I go inside and sharpen my tools. And I think lockdown has given us the opportunity to, as it were, sharpen our tools, just to think seriously about things that often life is so busy we brush aside. You know, what do we do about the wrong that we're all guilty of? Because I certainly am guilty of wrong. How do I find forgiveness? And can I be certain that when I die, I will go to be with God? The Bible speaks of heaven and hell. Can I know I'm going to heaven? And where does Jesus fit into all of this? We've got the opportunity to consider these things. And on the back of this particular leaflet, I offer a New Testament, a little Gideon New Testament, as it is, round the corner from you folk. And I send them a Gideon New Testament and an explanation as to how to become a Christian. And I think we've had over 50 now people write and ask for this, which is great. I think go to one of the Gospels. I personally would always recommend Luke's Gospel, but it doesn't matter which, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, in one of the in the Bible. And let Jesus, as you read, let Jesus walk off the pages of the Bible and just introduce himself to you. And when you consider that he came from heaven to earth to go to a cross and die for our sin, but then rose again, and he's willing to forgive us and live within us and reconcile us to God. That is an amazing thing. And then, hey, whatever happens because of this pandemic, if we do die, we can be certain of heaven. I love to say heaven is not a reward for doing good. Heaven is a gift which Jesus purchased and offers to us. And we receive him and we receive the gift of eternal life as well.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you, Roger. That's wonderful. I think it'd be really good to close in prayer, both for those of us who are frustrated in lockdown but want to tell people about Jesus, and also those who aren't quite sure and are still trying to find out. So would you lead the prayer?
Gladly do that. Let me just say, I popped into your church some months ago and a very delightful lady showed me round. So whoever you are, if you're watching now, thank you. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonder of the gospel. And thank you for the wonder of Zoom as well, that we can talk like this. But we can speak with you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he loved us, he died for us, that he's risen, he's alive. And thank you that we have an amazing message to be able to share. I pray that everyone who's listened in today would first of all know you as their Lord and Saviour, would have called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and then would be somebody with a desire to share this good news with others. Enthuse us and help us to keep going despite lockdown, we pray. We look forward to meeting with each other, but before then, may we moment by moment be meeting with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much.
No, thank you, Charlie. Really good to be with you. Thank you.
Now then, we're going to listen to Open the Book. And the team have got a really fantastic story that they are going to show us right now. So here we go. Open the Book.
In today's story, we're going to read about a man called Zacchaeus.
But Zacchaeus had a problem. He wasn't very tall. In fact, he was quite small. So let's open the book and read the story, Jesus and the Tax Man.
Everybody ran to meet him. Well, almost everybody. For there was one man, one small man, who didn't run to meet Jesus. And his name was Zacchaeus. It's not that Zacchaeus didn't want to see Jesus. He did. He really did. But not only was Zacchaeus short, he was also afraid of the crowd. Not many people liked him, you see. Partly because he was a tax collector, but mostly because he collected more taxes than he was supposed to. And then he kept what was left for himself.
Jesus is coming!
Jesus is for Jesus!
Everybody cheered as he walked through the city gates.
Jesus is coming!
Jesus is coming!
He's on his way! He's coming!
He's coming, yeah.
Well, almost everybody. But Zacchaeus didn't feel like cheering at all. He wanted to see Jesus. He did. He really did. But how could he walk out there in front of all those people he'd cheated? What would they do if they got a hold of him?
Then Zacchaeus had an idea. There were trees by the city gates. Tall, leafy trees. He could sneak behind the crowd and climb up one of those trees. He could see Jesus and not be seen himself. So off he went, out of his house and through the empty streets. And because the crowd was watching Jesus, he had no trouble at all slipping behind them and shimmying up a tree.
Jesus, come and eat us! Come and eat us! Come on.
Well, I'd love to, but I have another appointment I must keep.
Because it was a great honour to host someone as important as Jesus for dinner, everybody shouted at once.
Well, almost everybody, for there was one man, one small man, who kept his mouth shut and tried hard not to rustle the branches.
Come and eat at my house.
No, come and eat at my house.
Well, thank you so much, but I've already decided where I eat my meal tonight. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat at your house tonight.
Oh, going to Zacchaeus' house?
Why
are
you eating at Zacchaeus' house?
What?
What? My house? My house? My house? Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, he's the worst man in town. There must be some mistake.
Why would someone as good as Jesus want to eat with someone bad like him? But he was happy too. Happier than he'd been for a long, long time. And so, with a smile spreading across his face, Zacchaeus led Jesus to his house.
What are they saying?
What are they doing in there?
I don't hear them. What are they saying?
I'm sure I don't know. I can't hear well enough.
Hello, everyone! I've got an announcement! Everyone, this is my friend. My new friend's been telling me all about it. I've realised I've cheated all of you. And what's more, I'll pay back. I'll pay back double what I owe. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Don't you see? God has sent me to share his love with everyone, even those who've done bad things. And that's what I've done. And now Zacchaeus loves God too.
When the crowd began to cheer, Jesus and Zacchaeus and the whole town of Jericho, everybody.
That was absolutely fantastic. I love that story. It's beautiful. And do you know what? There is repentance there. Repentance isn't just saying sorry. We could see Zacchaeus saying sorry in that. But there was a turning around of his life. And look how it brought joy. It brought joy. And then Jesus, God the Son himself, says, salvation has come to this house. It's wonderful. There is no better news than that. And this is why we need to think about our confession, about our repentance. All of us have messed up. I have to admit, this week I've been frustrated with technology, I've been angry, I have a wonderful wife who's full of grace and mercy, but do you know what, I've got a saviour, his name's Jesus, and I know that I have salvation through him, but I have to be real, I need to repent, I need to say sorry, and that's what we do when we say our confession together. We're going to do that right now, we're going to say our confession. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, in word, in deed. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been and help us to amend what we are. And direct what we shall be, that we may so justly love mercy and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we can do that? And you know what? God hears that prayer and he takes it on and he washes away our sin. That is so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
This is Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. It's Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood before him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. We're going to continue with our series on the Apostles' Creed, turning to the line, the forgiveness of sins. And we're going to do that by looking at Luke 7, verses 36 to 50, and asking the question, who is Jesus? Because in this passage, in verse 49, the other guests, after seeing everything unfold, ask the question, who is this who even forgives sins? And our passage follows on from a couple of stories in Luke 7 where people ask the same question, who is Jesus? They're hearing his message, they're seeing his actions, and they're intrigued. They're wondering who he is. Is he a prophet? Is he a teacher? Is he more than that? Is he less than that? Should we discredit him? Or should we give him our time? So we're going to explore this question, who is Jesus? And then from that, find out what kind of forgiveness he offers. So let's get going, diving in and picking out a couple of things from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. First up, Jesus is a time giver. In verse 36, we read this. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Simon, the Pharisee, invites Jesus into his home for food. He's perhaps seen Jesus around, heard his message, and he is intrigued. Perhaps he's inviting Jesus to find out more out of good intention, or he's a Pharisee. Is he inviting him to test him? Is he inviting him to see if he can discredit him? Whatever the case, Jesus makes time for him. No matter the intention, Jesus accepts the invitation and gives him his time. And then in verse 37, we read this. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. This woman's life has obviously been transformed by the message that she's heard Jesus preach, and she has sought him out. She's found him, and she's come. She's longing to connect with him. And notice that Jesus accepts her. He doesn't dismiss her. He's not embarrassed by her. He's not put off by her past. He allows her the time that she is seeking. Does this encourage us? When we invite Jesus into our life, he comes. When we seek him out, we will find him. So Jesus is a time giver. He's patient with us. He doesn't dismiss us. He's not put off by our past. He's there generously accepting our invitation, allowing us to find him and connect with him. Next up, we have this. Prophet. Jesus is a prophet. Simon seems to think that Jesus isn't a prophet. After seeing this woman come and wipe Jesus' feet, kiss his feet, pour perfume over him, he says this. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this is verse 39, he said to himself in his own mind, under his breath, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. If he were a prophet. Simon discredits Jesus. He thinks, no, there's no way that if he were a real prophet that he would be allowing this woman to spend time with him in this way. But Jesus, knowing the hearts of people, knowing what Simon is thinking, addresses this situation and speaks God's word into it. That's what a prophet does. He knows what's going on in a situation, and he speaks God's word to those people. So Simon is disbelieving that Jesus is a prophet. He's saying, no, no way. But in doing that, Jesus proves that truly he is the prophet par excellence, the most amazing prophet of all. What's next? Well, next up we have teacher. Jesus says this in verse 40. Jesus answered Simon, Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon replies, tell me, teacher. Simon acknowledges him as a teacher. He's willing to listen as a teacher. Jesus teaches by using a short parable or story. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave both debts. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, says Jesus. Jesus teaches. He speaks God's word into this situation. And more than that, this parable doesn't just talk about money. It opens up a conversation around forgiveness. It reveals what God's forgiveness is like. That just like money, these people who are in debt, there's no way they could have paid it back. The only way they could rid themselves of that debt was if the money lender was generous and of his own free will forgave them that debt. Forgiveness with God is just the same. We are so far gone in our sin. There is no way, no effort that we can put in, nothing that we can do to achieve our way back into the presence of God. It is only by God's free will that sin is forgiven and we are set free. Jesus teaches about this kind of forgiveness, and it's good news. Next up we have forgiver. Jesus is more than a teacher. He reveals himself to be the one who can forgive, who has the authority to forgive. Verse 48 says this. After everything has happened and everyone has seen the woman's actions, he turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. And we have this question asked by the guests. Who is this who even forgives sins? Who is it? It's more than a prophet. It's more than a teacher. You see, some commentators put it like this. The forgiveness of sins is a divine prerogative. Only God can forgive sins. So by Jesus declaring that this woman's sins are forgiven, he makes himself one with God, one with the Father, declares himself, reveals himself to be God made flesh. The forgiveness of sins has the authority to forgive, to set people free, this woman and you and me. Next up.
Peace be with you.
Peace giver. Verse 50 of our passage says this. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And it's not just a temporary peace that leaves her and fades as she goes away from Jesus' presence at this meal. No, it's a lasting peace for the rest of her life into eternity. She is secure in the knowledge of her salvation. And it's a peace that perhaps gives her courage to go back into her life, one that was regarded as sinful, and to make changes, to see how God's transformational message can truly change her life from that point on. It's peace that is offered, hope, comfort, security, and courage. So these are some of the things we notice about Jesus. Yes, he is patient and generous with his time. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. He gives peace. But he's God made flesh. He's the forgiver. So if you have been searching, if you have been spiritually hungry and you've looked in loads of other places to see if you can be satisfied and nothing else has worked, look no further. You have found the source of all love, life, the source of all forgiveness in Jesus. So, now we've found him, what should our response be? Well, I suggest that it should be like this woman in the passage in Luke 7. And our response should be worship. And not just the kind of worship that means going to a church service and sitting in a certain type of tradition or singing a certain song. No, I'm talking about an holistic type of worship, an all-in kind of worship. You see, when this woman came to Jesus, she made a public display of trust. She opened herself up to mocking and ridicule. She witnessed to the real transformative effect of the gospel and showed others how much this forgiveness meant to her and did for her because of the love that she showed to Jesus. Her worship in this moment also cost her something. She gave away this expensive perfume. See, her worship was all in. Everything she had given to Jesus in that moment. Worship. So can I encourage you? If you've not been following Jesus, if you don't consider yourself a Christian, well, today might be a good day to put your trust in him, to commit to following this time giver, this prophet, this teacher, this forgiver, God made flesh, who has the authority to wipe away all your sin, who isn't put off by your past, but welcomes you and longs to connect with you. Why don't you commit to connecting with him through reading the Bible, opening his word, hearing him speak into your current situations? Perhaps you want to connect with us here at church by filling out the form on the church website. We will be in touch to encourage you, to speak to you, to answer your questions. Perhaps you want to join a course like Christianity Explored. Make today the day that you have found the source of all forgiveness and you put your trust in him, Jesus Christ. But if you've been following God for a little while, if you've been following Christ, calling yourself a Christian, then here's my question for you. Are there areas where you have been holding back, where you need to allow the love of God to seep through, to move you into acts of worshipful witness, generosity, to give you the courage to face the possibility of ridicule and mocking? Worshipful generosity. Is there an area of life where you have been holding back, where actually God is calling you to be all in? So let's reflect on that question for a moment. Are there areas of your life where you have been holding back? And then we'll come back and pray and finish together. So who is Jesus? Who is this who can even forgive sins? Well, he is the source of all love and forgiveness. Put your trust in him. Follow him. Connect with him. He longs to connect with you, to declare salvation over you, to give you his peace. Jesus, help us to be all in, to follow you wholeheartedly, and to worship you with everything we have. Amen.
Isn't that an amazing story? Do you know what? When we have an encounter with Jesus, often there's pain, often there's tears, but it later turns to joy. And we've seen that in our story today. And let's now declare what we believe, this good news of Jesus in the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we pray for the world, the church, and those in need, each prayer will end with, God of love, to which the response is, show us the way. God of love, show us the way. Dear God, we confess our need for you today. We need to know your healing and your grace. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love, constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you above everything else. We come to you and bring you to the places we are hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see or understand. You know the pain we've carried, the burdens, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you are able to do far more than we could imagine. We reach out to you and know that you are restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle for your greater glory. God of love, show us the way.
Father God, may your light shine in our church community as you work among us and bless us with your presence. We offer you the gifts that you have given us through Charlie, Tom and our ministry team, and also offer you ourselves as the people of the church. God of love, show us the way. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, we ask you to send your spirit of wisdom into the corridors of power and the hearts of the powerful. May it move our leaders into a new humility and compassion that truly seeks to serve the people of this nation as they place the NHS and the welfare state alongside deficits, balance sheets and economic growth. We pray as they determine our path in an international community facing so much conflict, terror and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, guide them. Lord, in your mercy, soften their hearts and enlighten their minds. God of love, show us the way.
Loving God, in a world of harmony and brokenness, peace and conflict, protect our children and young people from images that harm, from words that wound, and the hurt of broken promises. We give thanks for our young people, for their vibrancy, their ability to see things as they are, their sense of injustice, and their desire to build a fairer world. We pray for your protection in their lives. Help us to recognise stress and sadness, despair and loneliness, to share the burden in whatever way we can, to find the place where help is waiting. Loving God, be our guide. Bless and protect our children and young people. May they grow and flourish in the beauty of the world that you have made. God of love, show us the way.
Loving God, strengthen our innermost being with your love that bears all things, even the weight of this COVID-19 global pandemic. Help us to keep our gaze fixed on you. We give thanks especially for the recent discoveries of the Oxford University research team into new successful treatments and in the development of a vaccine. Give strength to all who are furloughed at this time and those who are working from home. As businesses slowly reopen, we pray for those returning to work
and others who face the prospect of redundancy. May your love that never ends be our comfort, strength and guide for the well-being of all and the glory of God. God of love, show us the way.
We pray for those known to us that are ill, both physically and mentally at this time, in hospital care and self-isolation. Lay your loving hands on them and give them your comfort. Be with all who grieve for their loved ones now in your eternal care and give them your compassion and peace. God of love, show us the way.
God of the universe, we thank you for your many gifts, for the beauty of creation and its rich and varied fruits. Forgive us for the times we've taken the earth's resources for granted and wasted what you have given us. The earth has responded to pollution during the lockdown in a healing way. So help us in future to touch the earth with gentleness and with love and show more respect to all living things. We pray for all those who suffer as a result of our waste, greed and indifference, and that the day will come when everyone has sufficient for their needs. Help us to respect the rights of all people and all species, and to willingly share your gifts today and always. God of love, show us the way.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we've nearly come to the end of our service now. I hope you've had a good time. It's made me feel how much I want to say thank you to Jesus every day for his grace and his love. Well, I'm going to finish with a prayer now. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of your grace and that we can repent and turn to you. And you dealt with our sin 2,000 years ago and you take it. And we thank you for that. Be with us now. Bless us, Lord God, and keep us safe this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.